One more note from James. I love the NCAA basketball tournament. I hate missing any part of it. James, thanks for that on Twitter. We're now joined by Hall of Famer in every way, shape, and form, Mike Singletary, our guest here on this Tuesday afternoon on Sikkim 365 Radio. Mike, how have you kind of digested what's going on right now with our society, and how has it affected you?
Well, in all honesty, it really is pretty amazing what has taken place. But I think for my wife and I, just taking a step back and realizing that this is a new normal. And I think, sometimes as life goes, there's just some things that you've never seen before. And so it forces you to do things you've never done. And so, we just accepted the fact that this is the way life is going to be for this time and take full advantage of it. Making sure that we stay inside and try to keep social distance as much as we can in our home. Just really continue to pray for our country and the leadership of our country and the people of our country. And believe in the resilience of our country. So I'm excited to see how we come out of it. Just take it a day at a time, and excited to see what comes next.
Mike, as a coach, how hard is this to deal for people in your profession to not be able to interact in the same way? I mean, you can still do it, but to make sure your players are doing everything you need them to do day in and out, and just making sure that, they have that camaraderie that goes with building a team.
Well, it's important that, those coaches have leaders, and the leaders on that team, those guys are the ones that are going to drive that team. They're the ones that, coming out of this, the leaders of those teams, whether it's at the NFL level, the collegiate level, high school, the leaders are always the ones that are on the phone calling guys and saying, hey, we got to get together. We got to make sure we're studying. We got to, even though we can't be side by side, we got to figure out a way to do something. Those are the teams that are going to come out of this ahead. For coaches, it's tough. You just have to lead from a distance, but those coaches that have leaders are going to be ahead of the game.
Mike, the coaching blood in you and just the playing blood in you, which is what you've done, can you imagine not having spring drills? Can you imagine not knowing exactly when the season begins and maybe having a modified type schedule to prepare for a season, if in fact there is a season?
I just think that, one of the things that's always important is just being able to accept change. But don't allow change to change you. I think it's important that you just have to alter your perspective a bit and really look at taking the opportunity that you have to sharpen your skills and ask yourself the question, what can I do? Some guys may get better in this time. Some guys may need this time. I don't know, but it's really, really important that you don't get all bogged out about, are we going to have a season? Are we ever going to do this again? Are we going to do that again? We just got to take it a day at a time. And the time that I have today, that 24-hour span, looking at the best way that I can use it to split up my day, to accomplish the things that I need to accomplish so that when that time comes, I'm not caught, just kind of complaining or looking at it or whatever. But I took advantage of every moment that I had.
How much does a regimented person like yourself have to maybe, a leader on the team, like you talked about before, have to chase after the guys who will relish in the fact that they just get to sit home and do nothing?
It's interesting. The thing about life is, those guys are going to weed themselves out. At some point in time, everybody comes to that point where you're just not willing to do it anymore. You're just not willing to do it for the team. You're not willing to do it. The coaches need you. You know that the team needs you. And you just sit back and complain and not do anything. And And those are the guys that really should not be in the game. And they will be found out.
Mike, I wonder, with somebody with so many accomplishments like you, and, you know, if I were to look back at my accomplishments, it'd be about 5 seconds and I'd be over and done with them. But for you, how often do you think back to certain moments in your career, whether it's at Baylor or in the NFL?
You know what? In all honesty, I really don't think about it a lot. What's really cool is when some of my old teammates call. Like last night, a teammate called Tommy Tabor. And Tommy was my roommate at Baylor. And, man, we had a blast. He was such a great guy to room with. And Frank Ditta, I talked to him a few weeks ago. And great to catch up with him. Andrew Mellentree. You know, and so when you talk to those guys, those moments that you had, you know, years later, you can be more vulnerable and talk about how much you really appreciated them and how what the little things that you appreciated that they did as a teammate. Those are the things that are really special.
Mike, you know about what Baylor's done in athletics and where they are now with the brand new stadium and all the what you had to deal with when you arrived at Baylor at what was then Floyd Casey Stadium and the weight room that really wasn't but a closet, and what Grant Taff, who was on our show yesterday, how he recruited. When you look at athletics today and you see like an arms race, do you ever see that ever stopping? Is this what's happening today, a way that might slow that down, and hopefully not because of, you know, this lasts too much longer?
Can you rephrase that question?
Yeah, I will. You had very little to work with at Baylor when you were at Floyd Casey Stadium, and what Grant Taft told the story about recruiting you, and there was basically a closet for weight rooms, and now you see an arms race of everything. Stadium's bigger, facilities bigger, and just your thoughts about what there is in college athletics today.
You know, for me, the way I look at it is I don't care if a guy was recruited back in the 60s, the 70s, you know, whatever. I think you can always find, you know, guys find ways to get what they need. And I think today they have too much. I just think that it all comes down to that individual being able to know what he has to do and taking the responsibility to get it done and not making excuses for what we don't have and what somebody else has. You know, the biggest weight rooms in the country are not necessarily the ones that have the best programs. You know, it's those coaches that are good quality coaches and the program that they have built and making sure that they have the right kids in those programs. Certainly, you've got large schools out there like Alabama and LSU, you know, Ohio State. Those guys, you know, that's a different deal. But for the most part, I think a kid just they have what they always have what they need. They're always going to find it because they're always looking for that edge.
The NFL draft is coming up, and when I knew we were going to have you on the show, I went and started looking up, you know, just videos, highlight videos of you, and I stumbled across one where you were telling your draft story about how you kind of walked outside and took a breath and said, man, I really would like to be a Chicago Bear right now, and how that happened. First off, that's pretty awesome how that went down. And two, would you think it's going to be strange for the guys going through that process now that haven't gotten to really meet with teams in person and don't know if they jive with someone and they may not have that same excitement that you did because obviously you talked to some of those people?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at the whole draft, I think anytime a college athlete has a chance to be drafted, he's going to be excited. He's going to be tremendously excited. I don't care what happens, come hell or high water, that kid, his life has just changed. His family has just changed. And his whole destination has changed. So I don't think it's going to change that. I just think that still with social media and all of the other things, I'm sure the kids are going to be in touch. Maybe we won't see all of it behind the scenes, but they will continue to be communicating with each other and very excited about those opportunities when they come.
Once you became a Chicago Bear, what was that first life-changing moment for you, whether it be a purchase, whether it just be a change in lifestyle? What was the first life-altering moment for you as an NFL player?
I think, the first thing is the responsibility. All of a sudden, I was a young man that had a few dollars in my pocket and more than my mom and dad and my wife's mom and dad ever had. And realized the responsibility that I had to make sure that I took the funds that I had and used them as wisely as I possibly could and as fast as I could, got in touch with really good people that could help me to navigate the journey that I wanted to be on and make sure that when I won on the field, when I practiced and I did the things that I needed to do, that off the field I was winning as well. And that was the responsibility of it all was the thing that hit me right away.
There's no doubt if there's a Mount Rushmore of Baylor, even athletics or Baylor football, either one, that Mike Singletary will be in that discussion. How important is it that no matter the coaching changes, and now it's Dave Aranda and others, is that what is now never forgets what was and how it was built in the first place when it comes to Baylor football and Mike Singletary?
In terms of?
Importance of staying in touch with Baylor and Baylor staying in touch with you as far as just keeping up. Have you met or have you discussed much with Dave Aranda?
I have not met Dave Aranda. But, you know, the thing with me is I recognize, so with Baylor, with the Bears, with my high school, times change and things change. But Baylor will always be a huge part of my life, a huge part of my heart. I will always have a passion for Baylor. None like any other university. I will always have a passion for the Bears, unlike any other NFL team. I mean, it's just who I am, and it's just what those things meant in my life and the opportunity that I was afforded with both those great institutions.
So when do you think we're going to ever get back to normal? I know you said this is the new normal. Do you think that perhaps there will be normal again?
You know what? I as far as normal again, I think coming out of this, people are going to be really appreciative of more appreciative of what they have, being able to go to work and being able to get outside and being able to talk to someone differently than the person in your home. And I think there will be a new appreciation for what you have at home. And I just think that there are going to be some new laws, some new not so much from the White House, but from inside our own houses, that we're going to do differently now that we're recognizing how important and how swiftly things can change. So what do we do to open our eyes to take advantage of every day?
Everyone knows about the eyes, the Mike Singletary eyes and the stare. Did anyone you ever play against ever at any level ever give you some sort of look that scared you?
No, I've heard some sounds that not so many looks. There was a guy, John Hanna, that played for the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
John Hanna played for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He was maybe 8-9 years before me, and I had a chance to play against him in the NFL. Matter of fact, the year he won the Super Bowl, a couple of times we faced him. And I tell you what, he sounded like an 18-wheeler, an engine. And I thought, what is wrong with this guy? It was pretty amazing to hear that sound. But he was a great football player, very aggressive. When I saw him on film and then heard him on the field, I was like, wow, man, this is a guy to be reckoned with.
After you retired, how long since then did you stop missing the game?
You know what? in all honesty, you're going to find it hard to believe. And when I played, I thought, I used to pray and say, Lord, how in the world am I going to retire? I love this game so much. And I think the thing that really helped me was I did my own contract. So I negotiated for myself, and those negotiations were kind of tough at times. And but there was a time when the time came for me to retire, I knew that I wasn't willing to pay that price anymore, and to be honest with myself. And so when I retired, I was very grateful. I was very thankful. I looked at it as, wow, what a great opportunity to play with so many great guys and coaches. Now I couldn't wait to get home to be a husband and a father. My wife told me my whole career, Mike, you're at home, but you're not here. And I could not understand what in the heck is she talking about. I'm thinking, hey, I'm coming home. But I had to realize I bought a video machine and brought that home, a beta machine. And as soon as I got home, I was looking at film.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, hey, I'm at home. And I didn't get it until I retired. And being a husband and being a father without football for the first time in my life, it was really rewarding. It gave me an opportunity to really delve into our family and really begin to understand some of the things that my wife talked about that I really couldn't understand.
I know you got to go. I got a text just now. I want to share it with you from Chris in Waco. My grandmother and I were at Luby's back in the 80s, the late 80s. And Mike Singletary signed an autograph for me. I was 10 years old back then. I've never forgotten how polite he was at the time.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Some 30 years later. Yeah. How about that?
Well, my mom always taught me, be polite, son. You just never know. Be polite. Try to do that.
Mike, thank you very much for being a part of our show. We love what we're doing, and I know you love playing the game and now what you're doing at home. Thank you so much, and have a great week. Be careful.
God bless. Take care.
Mike Singletary, Hall of Famer. So Chris says that. That's 30-plus years ago. He goes, it doesn't seem like it was significant, but it really was. He didn't have to do that. I've still got the napkin.